The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. It's divisional round week with the Chiefs taking on the Cleveland Browns Sunday at 2:05 p.m. Arrowhead time. A little bit of a change in schedule when it comes to From the Podium. I'm going to give you the best of Wednesday and Thursday on this podcast. That includes Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Eric Bieniemy, and Steve Spagnuolo. Another podcast coming at you on Saturday. But right now, let's get started with the Chiefs head coach. Here is Andy Reid.
Guys that didn't practice today were Rashard Fenton, Willie Gay, and Sammy Watkins. They're all making progress. Everybody else was out there moving around. Clyde got some work in today, which was good. And he's feeling better every day, every day that we go along here. So, listen, we look forward to the challenge of playing the Browns. I mean, they're a heck of a football team. I mean, you get to this time of the year and you're playing against the best. So we've had a chance to look at them on tape and respect the heck out of them, the job that they've done, coaching and playing. So, again, it was good to get started with our practice today, and we'll keep working, make sure we get everything down for the game plan and for Sunday. All right, that time's yours.
We'll go first to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Sam. I wonder, just generally speaking, not this game, but kind of every game, generally, how much of your game planning are you pretty aware of what the other team's going to do, in the sense that obviously teams have strengths and weaknesses, but I assume that they try and disguise their weaknesses a little bit. So how much can you actually prepare for exactly what you're going to see on any given Sunday?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, teams, it's hard to just replace the whole defense and or offense and just start from scratch. So, and they wouldn't be here if they weren't good at what they did. So normally they come out and it's similar to what they've done. And then they'll have a wrinkle here or there for your game. That doesn't mean that won't favor one. If a team has five coverages, that they don't favor one over the other, or one front over the other, or, you know, whatever it might be. To play against what they consider your weaknesses or matchups. So, you know, that's kind of how it rolls. But for the most part, things are, after you get through about the first four games of the season, everything's somewhat, there's a base to most of the things, yeah.
Go next to Dave Scretta. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing?
All right,
Dave. I asked Kevin Stefanski a similar question earlier, but Andy, or John Dorsey has kind of his paw prints on both of these teams. I wonder if, when you look at the Browns, if you see that in personnel and style and scheme, the things that he maybe brought to that organization when they were turning it around.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he did a nice job here and there. And so bringing people in and they can play football. And so you see that. And, you know, yes, so I'd answer you yes. I could see that.
Let's go next to Sarin Petro. Go ahead, Sarin.
Coach, the two things here real quick. Number one, I know there was a statement or a message, I guess, from the PR department about, you know, helicopters going by. Do you have a story like back in your career where you remember like kind of the spy where people were looking in on your practice? That's number one. If there just is any history around, you know, teams trying to get that edge that way. And then number two, is it possible to win in the playoffs if your quarterback doesn't play well?
Yeah. So just with the helicopters, I mean, it's the noise and the, you know, they're obviously filming your practice. So, I mean, it's a, you don't necessarily want that out there. But I understand everybody wants to see it and that, but it's just, you know, that's part of the relationship. So that we have with the media that you take care of business there. What was your other part, Doug? You hit me with that, with the helicopter. I haven't had a lot of those. So,
Sorry about that. The other part is when you get to this point, right? Everybody's good. Can anybody, not just your team, but can any team win playoff games if their quarterback doesn't play well?
Well, I'd say yes. I mean, but I'd say that, shoot, about anybody. If you, and then likewise, if you're not coaching well, you that likewise. So, you know, normally you get to this point, and normally everybody does a pretty decent job. So. And it's just great competition. That's the part I love about this. You get the kind of the cream of the crop, and this league is so competitive anyways. And then you add into it these teams that have just really excelled. And you love that challenge, man. I mean, it's an awesome deal. It's hard to explain, but it's awesome. Yeah.
Go next to Pete Sweeney. Go, Pete.
Hey, Coach, we got to speak with Dylan a couple weeks back, and he had mentioned Clyde was just really attacking his injury, really going at the rehab, trying to do everything in his power to get here for this week. What have you seen from him in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. I've had a chance to see him in a couple of the rehab procedures as of late, and he, he gets after it. You know, a lot of it is the way you approach it and the trust you have and the trainers and so on. I mean, we've all had injuries. I mean, you guys have had injuries too. So, you know that you think you're going to break something by pushing it, but normally the trainers have a pretty good feel on what you can do and can't do. So, and you kind of surprise yourself. But I'll tell you, this kid, he just kind of went right at it. I mean, he was fearless with it. And as a result, I'd tell you he's probably a little bit ahead, and we just got to evaluate him. And we're not going to do anything to jeopardize him or his career. I mean, that's not what we're doing. We're just we've taken it day by day with him, and we'll keep doing that and just see how he does here.
Go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy. I understand the Browns have another good back in Nick Chubb and a lot of other good players as well, but I was wondering with regard to Kareem Hunt, whether maybe he gives them a capability they otherwise wouldn't have when he's in their lineup.
He's a heck of a player. Absolutely. Both those two. I mean, that's a dynamic duo right there. Those guys, man, they are good football players. And listen, we love Kareem. I mean, he was here and he's a heck of a kid and, you know, he just, I'm so happy for him that he's doing well. And really, when it's all said and done, that's the most important thing. You put the game aside and you want to make sure these guys end up heading the right direction so they can sustain that the rest of their life, you know, and I'm happy for them.
Go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, I know we talked, before the regular season finale that this week was going to be somewhere where you have to sort of simulate the intensity that you're going to see in the playoffs, and guys obviously having close to 3 weeks off. Just how important are the next 2 days, and what do you want to see in terms of how much you can increase sort of the tempo or the intensity of practice that will prepare you for Sunday?
Yeah, well, our guys, how we do it. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but our guys practice fast, and they do that day in and day out, and that's an important quality to have, especially at this time of the year and the way we've been scheduled here. So I don't think any of that will change once we get into tomorrow and Friday. These guys practice hard and fast. So But it is important. I mean, for your question, to answer your question, it's important that that's what takes place. And that's all part of getting ready to play against a great football team. So that's what we're doing.
Go next to Sam Mellinger. Go ahead, Sam.
All right, guys, can you hear me now?
Sorry. There we go.
Gotcha. Sorry, my fault. I want to ask you about Tyron. I know he was a hell of a player before he got here. But, you know, 2 years and two first team all pros. I know people that have watched him throughout his career say this is the best he's played. From your point of view, I'm just wondering if is there something schematically or culture or maybe just a long term commitment? What do you think it is about what you have here that has sort of brought out his best?
Yeah, well, he's a natural born leader. So he comes into a situation where that was needed, I thought, and at that particular time. And then you add that in with the scheme that Spags has. You look at the guys that have played in that position, and Spags moves them all around. So, I mean, you can play him at corner. You can play him inside. You can play him deep. So you've got all kinds of flexibility with him. And you look at the Dawkins and those players that have traditionally been in those positions, in that position, and they've had success with it. And it frees them up to let their personality show and their abilities to show.
Got time for two more. We'll go Vahe and then Herbie to close us out. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Andy. Brad, I'll just ask one set of this first, and then if I could follow up after Andy answers. Andy, it's a long time ago, 2005, but I'm curious, did you even meet Kevin Stefanski when he was a training camp intern that year?
I knew who he was. He was a heck of a football player right there at Penn. So I followed Penn. I had a couple assistants that had been there and coached there. So I knew about it. I was close with the head coach there, and it's a neat program. So, I mean, it was right there by our facility. The tradition's phenomenal. So anyways, all that said, I knew who he was, and yes, I did see him. Yep.
It just along those lines, there's a lot of things that you coach for, but I think you've indicated it's pretty meaningful to you to see your guys go on to other jobs or guys that are kind of under your tree. I can you express why that, what it does mean to you, why that matters?
Yeah, I just think it, these guys work their tail off. So, and they work all the areas of what you need to be a good football coach. And it's not all X's and O's. I mean, that's a big part of it, but it's not all X's and O's. It's how you deal with people and take care of your players, and at the same time, try to give them whatever they need to be the best they possibly can be. And so you see guys go through this, and you see their players mature, you see them mature, and then you go, well, heck, they sure deserve a job, to have an opportunity to run their own building and then teach others, how to do the same thing. So I think it's kind of a neat process as it works out over the years. I'm part of that process because of Mike Holmgren. So I've lived this, and it's kind of a neat deal to be a part of.
We'll go last to Herbie Tiobi. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach. Good afternoon.
All right, Herbie.
I've asked you a couple times in the past month about Mitchell Schwartz, and here we are in the postseason, and I'm curious now how much of a scenario exists in your mind that you could potentially get him back if you advance in the postseason, or is this just a matter of making sure his back is okay for the 2021 regular season?
Yeah, backs are fickle, man, and so he's not going to be back this week, and then we're literally taking that day by day. I mean, these things are crazy. There's nobody that wants to play more than this guy. So, I mean, I know, you know how he's wired. I mean, you don't play all the games he played in a row and not enjoy the game. So, but he physically can't do that right now. And we'll just see how it goes down the road. I don't think anybody's lost hope in that. We're just, sometimes time is an important thing here.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, Patrick. I just want to revisit something with you regarding playing Big 12 quarterbacks and how exciting it is to be doing this now in the playoffs against a guy like Baker Mayfield, and how much that rivalry still lives on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's cool to get to play against him and such a big game in the playoffs and everything like that. Knowing him for a long time since I was a senior in high school, and to be able to play on this stage it's going to be special. And I mean, he went to Oklahoma, went to Texas Tech, so he got the better of me in college. So I'll try to do my best to win in the NFL.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Patrick. Travis just mentioned that as soon as you knew it was the Browns, that you basically had a notebook ready to go as far as preparation. Can you kind of describe when you initially started preparing for who you were going to play and what the very first preparations were?
Yeah, I mean, right when the bye week started and we knew who the seeds were for the 7, 6, 5, 4, all those seeds that we could possibly play, I took a day where I watched each team. About 4 or 5 games of each team. And so just kind of get a general feel of what the defense is presenting, what offenses are doing to try to attack them from different teams, different offenses. And so I had a day's worth of film on the Browns. So whenever we found that out, I was able to look back at that, look at my notes, and try to see how it presents to us.
Let's go next to Vahe Gregorian. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Patrick, this is a slightly different topic, but we see you when you're mic'd up doing stuff like telling guys nice hit and you know, kind of making a point of exhibiting sportsmanship. And I'm curious why that matters to you and maybe how you define sportsmanship.
Yeah, for me, I just love the game. So I respect everybody else just as much as they respect me. And being able to go out there and play the sport that we love, I understand everybody's grind. Everybody's putting everything they have every single time they're on the field. And, I mean, trust me, I want to win, but I respect everybody's grind of getting out there. And so I'm gonna do what I can to show that I appreciate them as much as I appreciate the guys on my team.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Patrick. Do you feel like you prepare any differently for a playoff game than you would a regular season game? And Brad, I'll have a quick follow-up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just take your intensity up a level. I mean, it's still the same preparation, just maybe try to dive deeper into the film study, dive deeper into the breakdowns and the different ways you can go out there and have success against a defense. But, I mean, just taking it to another level would be the biggest thing.
Okay, and it's been 2 weeks now since you've played a game. Did you do anything special over this time to stay sharp or just the things you normally would do?
Yeah, I mean, I stayed on top of everything. I practiced as much as I could practice, getting reps in, making sure I get back to the fundamentals of the footwork and stuff like that, and then continue to work out and prepare myself. We didn't start the way we wanted to last year when we came off the bye, and so I want to make sure that we do a better job of starting a little bit faster and try not to put ourselves in that deficit.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Patrick, last year, the early deficit in the playoffs were certainly kind of an identity for you. You put them on the Super Bowl rings. But this week, how much of that's a conversation, you know, between you, the players, and the coaches? And how big of a focus is it this year to get off to faster starts?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it a lot easier. I think you could say that. It's not something that we necessarily talk about. I think it's just kind of understood is that we need to come out playing our best football, playing the team that we're playing. They're coming in with a lot of confidence, playing really good football. And so we want to do whatever we can to get off on the right foot and try to build a lead early because, I mean, they're a good football team that's able to win football games. And so we're going to make sure that we come with our best effort from the first snap.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Patrick, it seems like some of the teams that have had success against you defensively have this ability to get pressure to you without blitzing. The Browns somewhat fall into that category. Knowing that going in, how does that maybe change your preparation or mentality as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to focus on the fundamentals for myself. I think it's the biggest thing. Trusting the O-line, trusting the game plan, and get the ball out of my hands. The good thing about this team is we have a lot of great playmakers that can make plays happen in space. And so if I'm getting the ball out of my hands and getting it to them, if that's holding it, stretching plays out and throwing deep passes, or if that's getting it out quick, whatever way, in order to have success in the field, I'll try to do that.
Let's go next to Harold Kuntz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Patrick, hope you're doing well. I just wanted to ask you about the Browns defense. You're kind of, you know, in your notebook, what you saw out of them, and especially Myles Garrett. You know, you guys, especially with the communication with the offensive line, how have you corrected that to face a guy like Myles Garrett just coming in, I think, the third most sacks of anybody in the postseason that's left?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Miles for a long time, being in high school, and trust me, he was the exact same size in high school as he is now. So I'm glad I didn't play him then. He's a tremendous player, plays extremely hard and has a ton of talent. And that they have talent across that whole entire defense. And so for us, it's about executing at a high level, getting the ball out of my hands, kind of like I said, letting guys make plays, and we're gonna have to play our best football if we want to win a football game at the end of the day.
We've got time for a couple more. We'll go Seren and then Nate. Go ahead, Seren.
Patrick, I'm curious, you know, having been through everything you guys did, won all the three comebacks last year in the playoffs, accomplishing the championship and everything, how different is your confidence level right now? Like, I know you were confident last year, but now not thinking you can do it, but knowing you can do it, how different is it this year?
Yeah, I mean, you understand what it takes. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's not easy. You know, you have to put in a lot of work, but you understand that you can do it. And so just kind of keep it in perspective, going out there, having fun, enjoying it, playing to the best of our ability, and then letting things handle itself. And so we have a lot of veteran guys on this team now that have been through it. And so we're going to go out there with the mentality of not trying to get in those deficits again, but just try to find a way to win a football game and play the right way.
We'll go last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Patrick, I have two questions for you. The first goes back to your film study. The Browns played four common opponents from you guys, Baltimore, Las Vegas, Houston, and New York. Just how much were they a part of the film study in terms of figuring out what might work for you guys? And then Brad will have a follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely were. I mean, you see those different offenses, and they do a lot of the similar things that we do. And then I try to look at offenses like the Texans and stuff like that, that do a lot of the similar type of stuff that we do, as well as Philly and all these other teams. And so you try to take away from the formations that they're in that are similar to ours. And even though we do different things out of those formations, you can kind of see where their defense is at and how they're combating that. And then, you know, they're going to make adjustments, and we're going to be able to make adjustments during the game.
And then lastly, this often gets forgotten, but you know, your legs were part of a dynamic with the offense last year, obviously coming healthy as the season went along last year. Just how much do you feel like your legs may be an element that obviously the Browns have to sort of respect and game plan for as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to take what's there and what presents itself. I think the best thing about the playoffs, you can't leave anything on the field. You got to leave it all out there. And so if it gets presented to me and I'm able to use my legs, I'll try to do that and try to stay away from getting those big hits and everything like that. But you definitely take it to a new level when it gets to the playoffs. And so we're excited to be here, and we're excited to find a way to win a football game.
Patrick, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and now we continue on with tight end Travis Kelce.
Hey, Travis, hope you're doing well today. Two quick questions for you. One, you're a Cleveland guy, so when you see that you're finally facing the Browns in the playoffs, just your overall thoughts on finally facing your hometown team, if you will. And also, what is it about, Patrick Mahomes in this offense, only the least amount of points you've scored in the postseason, 31 points since Patrick Mahomes has been in control. What is it about you guys that just kind of just flipped the switch in the postseason?
I think to answer your first question, yeah, man, being from Cleveland and playing the Browns, it's definitely kind of upped the ante a little bit. You know, it made it a little bit more personal. I absolutely love Cleveland, but I understand that we are each other's enemies right now. So I got a lot of friends and a lot of family back in Cleveland telling me I'm the enemy, and it's definitely going to be fun going up against the Browns, and it's going to be an exciting game. And to speak on the other point of the points scored, I think that everybody kind of locks in a little bit more and gets excited to play when the playoffs come around, especially in this building, especially 1-5 himself. He does everything he can to be ready for these moments, and it shows every single time he goes out there in the playoffs.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Travis, the last time you guys played the Browns was 18, and you and Kareem, two Cleveland guys, you probably remember the game well, went off and had all these touchdowns. Just thinking back to Kareem and everything that happened and just where he is now, how thrilled are you for him? How often do you guys speak and so on and so forth?
I wish we spoke more often, man. That's my brother for life. To see what he's gone through and to see him grow from everything. I'm somebody where I had a few red flags coming out of college. It wasn't always, you know, a whole lot of fun for me. I had to kind of break through some things that were tied to my name, and with that, you know, it just you have to challenge yourself as a man, as a human. You have to grow from it. You have to understand how people are viewing you, and you have to move on knowing that. And I think Kareem's done an unbelievable job of, you know, just going out there playing football and keeping his head on straight. So I'm happy as hell for him.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Travis. We were learning that obviously you came back in the Man of the Year award challenge online. I know I want to take you back to the last time you played against the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, the team showed the video of your nomination. Just what did it feel like to watch the nomination and obviously be recognized? And then secondly, there were two kids in the video, Amari and Amir. I know you've gotten to know them over the last 5 years at Operation Breakthrough. What's it just been like to get to know them and have a real relationship with those guys?
Yeah, Amari and Amir, man, those guys, they'll light up the room every single time they walk in it, man. It's just two kids that are absolutely, you know, very aware of their situation. But at the same time, man, they love life, man. They love life. They appreciate, you know, what Operation Breakthrough is and everybody that's in that building that helps them, you know. And it's just it's a beautiful thing, man. And to be honest, during the Falcons game when I was getting recognized, we were losing at that point. So it wasn't a fulfilling moment. You know what I mean? We were trying to secure the first round bye and or at least the first seed in the AFC. And my mind was more focused on that than it was actually. But Fish actually gave me a little tap and he said, "Hey man, congratulations." So that was about as excited and understanding that I got on the field when I was being recognized.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Travis, regarding Kareem, what do you feel like the last couple of years have been like for him since he's left here? And was it difficult for him to not be a part of things as you guys kept winning games the last couple of years? And Brad, I'll have one quick follow-up.
I can only imagine how it was for him. I can't speak on it. You know what I mean? Obviously, it was probably an uphill battle that he had to deal with mentally as well as, you know, face the reality of things. And what that is that everybody was kind of looking at him in a negative light. And he's a guy where he walks in the building as a teammate, as a guy, as a friend that I've learned to know, man. He's never had that negative light on him because of his personality and, you know, who he's been in the building. So to have to deal with that, you know, hats off to him for battling through that and finding his way back onto a football field here in the NFL, and I'm just happy for him, man.
Okay, and you also mentioned earlier that everybody out there really locks in at playoff time, and you said particularly Pat. How have you seen that with Pat? What tells you that he's particularly locked in this week?
It's the small conversations of making sure that everybody is aware, making sure that everybody's on the same page. You can tell that, you know, he's been doing his homework for the past week and a half, just talking to him understanding what every single team that we could possibly face is doing defensively. And then sure enough, as soon as we found out on Sunday who we were playing, you know, he was right there. I had a whole notebook ready for the Cleveland Browns. And I think right now we're just we're in the process of figuring out the game plan. And I think, like I said, what Pat does the best is communicate exactly what he's seeing and, you know, how he feels we need to attack the defense. And all those conversations, you know, are extremely relevant during the game. So.
Got time for a few more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Travis. You touched on this earlier, but I wonder if you could expand upon it a little bit. Just your family and friends back home. Just the dynamic of, I mean, are they still Browns fans? Obviously, they're Travis Kelce fans, but what is the dynamic of who they root for?
I mean, it's I got no hard feelings, man. I understand what it means to be a Cleveland sports fan, and to be a diehard at that. And you know, I think a lot of the close friends and family are going to be wearing their Chiefs gear, but maybe throw a orange shirt with a nice Browns helmet on underneath or something like that, man. It's definitely going to be mixed feelings for a lot of people that I know, but at the same time, I'm going in with a mindset that Kansas City Chiefs got to win this game.
Go next to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Travis. You mentioned a few times this year how the crowd still a limited capacity, but that you've felt that energy all season long. Just how excited are you to feel that on Sunday back in the playoffs? And also, are you repping Tyreek's brand there on your shirt?
Oh, yeah. I'm a soul runner. I might not be as fast as Tyreek, but I'm still a soul runner. You can't take that away from me. Shout out to Tyreek and what he's doing with the soul runner and everything he's doing in the community, man. That guy's unbelievable. But to go back to I'm sorry, what was the first question you had? My apologies.
Just feeling the playoff environment. I know it's a limited capacity crowd, but you've mentioned how the crowd all year, just 17,000 or whatever, still brought it every single game. How excited are you to feel that?
I'm excited to see how we take it up a notch. You know, the playoffs, the us on the field can't be the only ones that take it up a notch. So the kingdom, we're hoping that you're loud and proud and ready to wreak havoc just like we are.
We'll go last to Mackenzie Nelson. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
Hey, Travis, I was just wondering, as you guys enter the playoffs, is there anything that sticks out to you or anything that's different about this year's team versus last year's?
I would say the biggest difference is just the confidence that we have in knowing who we are and knowing how to be the best us, if that makes sense. I think what Coach Reed has done, I've said this a million times, I think what he does is he presents a challenge for us week in and week out. And as a player, as a leader, to follow, you know, a guy that knows what he's doing like that, to be able to hear what he has for us and to keep attacking that challenge and week in and week out find ourselves, you know, having success through meeting those expectations and winning those challenges. I think it's just a, you know, a flawless process that Coach Reed has been able to put forth. And with that, you know, we've all been able to grow within that and have fun doing it.
Trav, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Check out Cheetah, man. Soul Runner, baby.
Whenever you're preparing for any opponent, how much of your preparation is gauging a cornerback's perceived weaknesses versus just trying to fine-tune what you do best?
You know what? I don't know, man. I just watch I just usually just watch tendencies. You know, I feel like every opponent, you know, like you said, is good at some things. You know, but I just pretty much just watch tendencies. You know, I feel like no player really has weaknesses in the NFL, you know, because this is the highest, you know, level that you can play at. So, yeah.
Let's go next to Herbie TLB. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Tyreek. Belated Happy New Year, since we didn't get a chance to chat with you before the year changed.
Oh, yeah.
We know the plays you've made, 1,200 yards, almost 1,300 yards receiving, 15 uh-huh. receiving touchdowns. But as you look back at the 2020 season, what plays stand out to you that you didn't make and that you wish you could have had back?
Definitely the Denver Bronco play, man. The catch that wasn't ruled a catch. So, yeah, that play, like, always sticks out, you know, to me the most, you know, because I'm always preaching, you know, judge the ball correctly when it's in the air. So I feel like I could have done a better job judging the ball. You know, I just try to make a crazy catch, a crazy acrobatic catch, you know, trying to get on SportsCenter top 10, you know. So just make the catch, man, and just, you know, come down with the play, and I would have had the record of 16 touchdowns. That like hunts me like every night, and I'm like, man, I wish I would have caught it. So yeah, that just that one play right there.
Go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Tyreek, I know that you had been dealing with some kind of hamstring issue toward the end of the season. How much did you benefit from these past couple weeks off? And I was wondering if you could just describe how fresh you're feeling right now.
Well, I feel great, man. I just feel like our medical team here does a tremendous job of just, you know, allowing us to like go out and work with, you know, our like off-field trainers and stuff like that. So I had a chance to go, you know, work out with Luther, go to this other place I worked out, you know, in the offseason and get some more work, you know, outside of, you know, the Chiefs facility. So they allowed me to do that, you know. So right now I'm feeling great. Like I'm feeling good, man. You know, so I'm ready. I'm excited.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Tyreek. It's been 2 weeks since you played in a game now. Did you do anything special to stay sharp for this game coming up or anything special at all on you out of the ordinary?
Nah, man, I just been training hard. Just like I just told Pete, I just been training hard, I've been on the jugs a lot. I've been on the tennis balls late at night. I've even been running a few routes, you know, on my own outside of, you know, what we do here with the Chiefs. So, I mean, you always got to keep the knife short, man. Always, you know. So I'm ready.
Good time for a couple more. We'll go Karen and then Matt. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Tyreek.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Hey, what is your take on the Cleveland Browns? You watched the game they played to continue in the playoffs. What's your overall impression of them?
Well, they definitely a building team, you know. So, very good team, very young team. Offense is tremendous. Defense is good, you know. So, I feel like we cannot take this opponent lightly. Like, we got to play this game just like any other game. Come out, play hard, and just be the Chiefs. You know, so they got a bunch of playmakers on both sides of the ball, you know, so we just got to play ball, you know. And, you know, I know my brother's in the locker room, like, all of them ready for the challenge, you know, so it's going to be a good game. So, no, you're not going to get the great face mask comment from me. No, you're not. Let's go.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Ty, good to see you.
Good to see you, bud.
Hey, you know, last year the big topic for the playoffs was the slow starts and getting out
right.
to deficits. Is that anything that you guys talk about this year as motivation? And is there anything that, you know, you're focusing on from your spot to feel like that you can get the offense going faster?
Yeah. Our wide out coach brought it up today. Well, not today, probably yesterday, I believe. He was like, let's not put ourselves in that same position as we did last year, you know, because every team isn't going to be the same, you know. So we just got to come out and just have the energy, you know, we've had all year, you know. So get the ball to the playmakers and just let Pat be special, man, with the ball in his hand, man. You know, so that's all we got to do.
Tyreek, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
You just heard from Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and now we continue on with the coordinators. First up, here is offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy.
No, it's been a few weeks, but hopefully everyone has remained safe. Hopefully everyone's families are safe as well. Feels good to be back on out on the practice field. Our guys last week had an opportunity to get back to some fundamentals, some things that we felt that we needed to work on to help us moving forward. On top of that, we got guys getting re-energized and getting a little bit more excited about the opportunity that we're going to face this week. So with all that said, I'm all ears.
Let's go next to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, EB, I have two questions for you. Just in your time coaching Kareem, just what did you learn about him as a person? And then can you kind of describe just your feelings when it became clear that he wasn't going to be a part of the team moving forward?
Well, first of all, Kareem is a beautiful kid. He is a beautiful spirit about himself. All right. And I know that you guys really don't get to see that side of him. I mean, he's a fun-loving family guy, and he's one of those kids that you just can't help but want great things to happen to and happen for. But as far as a player, a beast. Runs hard, plays hard, knows how to maximize every opportunity, okay? You can see that when he's out on the field. He runs with an attitude, and he runs with a determined mindset that he's going to find a way to make it across that line. And then, you know, obviously, you know, losing him, that was a different deal. And obviously he's been missed, but more than anything, I'm proud of the growth process that he's going through. I'm proud to see where he is. I'm proud to see him still pursuing his goals and all the accomplishments that he has made. And I mean, hell, he's like one of our own. And I know we'll be facing him this week, and that'll be a little different. But when it's all said and done with, I know he'll come out and do exactly what he wants to do. He's going to play hard, and he's going to play fast, and he's going to be the best running back that he can possibly be for them.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Coach EB, Sammy Watkins was so important for you guys in the stretch last year as you faced some of these better teams in the playoffs. A little unclear. I want to ask you to comment on the injury, but if he can't go, how do you feel and how confident are you in your guys to be able to replace everything that he's able to do?
Well, you guys have heard me say this before. We want all hands on deck. But if Sammy can't go, the next man got to be ready. And that's how we prep. That's why we got a great coaching staff. We believe in our coaches. Our coaches are great teachers. They're great communicators. On top of that, they've developed an outstanding relationship with our players to get the best out of them. So if Sammy's out there, we know exactly what we're going to get. If he's not out there, then you know what? It's okay. The next man will step up.
Let's go next to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. This is the obligatory question because you were kind of a busy man last week. How did the job interviews go, and what was your biggest takeaway from virtually meeting with, I believe it was 5 or 6 teams?
Well, Herbie, let me just say this, okay? First of all, it was an honor and a privilege, but that's not what we're here for. All right. We're here to talk about the Cleveland Browns. And you've heard us talk about this before. We eliminate all distractions. OK, at the end of the day, my focus and attention is on the Cleveland Browns. This is a great team and they're playing some great ball. They got some young guys up front that are playing tremendous. They got some guys in the second level with those backers, and they got a heck of a secondary group. One of those guys we're very familiar with. So we're looking forward to this challenge. I know our guys are fired up and excited. They're refreshed. They've hit the reset button. Now it's time to get out there and produce and show exactly what we're about.
Got time for a couple more. We'll go Todd and then Nick. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to follow up a little bit on Kareem. Professional football is different than college football. I mean, you got to do the job or you're not going to be there. And if you get in trouble, you're gone. As you were his running backs coach his first year, I imagine you're pretty close with him. How disappointed were you for him that he got himself in a situation where he couldn't be on the team anymore? And is he someone you follow up with and stay in contact with and check and see how he's doing?
Well, first of all, if you've ever known anything about me, I keep a personal relationship with all my guys, because not only do I take pride in coaching them, but also too, it's all about getting to know the person and knowing the ins and outs of who they are and what defines them and what makes them the special person that they are. And so obviously it's one of those things. Yes, I do follow exactly what he does. I'm paying close attention because I'm obviously going to be a fan. I'm going to always be his fan. But when it's all said and done with, you know, for whatever reason, things happen in life. All right. And sometimes when those things happen, they end up being more of a learning lesson and a life lesson moving forward. Because sometimes, you guys have heard me say this before, sometimes without no bad luck, we wouldn't have any good luck at all. So it's unfortunate what happened. Okay. And I think Kareem would tell you this, the same exact thing. All right. Nobody wants to have a separation that way. But when it's all said and done with, it has benefited him in the long run because he's grown. He's matured. He's a better person. He understands where he fits in this world. And I am so proud of the man that he's becoming. And obviously what he does on the field speaks for itself. I will always be proud of that.
Last one to Nick Jacobs. Go ahead, Nick.
Eric, for you, I'm curious about defensive coordinator Joe Woods. You've had a couple chances to go against him when he's the Broncos DC and then in the Super Bowl with the 49ers. Kind of what's his scheme? What's his style like?
You know what? Joe is a laid-back, cool customer. He's very smart. He's very intelligent. And, I mean, he's going to watch everything that we've done. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's pulled out tape from the Bronco days and from the Raider days when he coached there. And I know he's going to pull out some tape from last year's game in the Super Bowl. So one thing about Joe, you don't have to worry about those guys not being prepared. They're going to be prepared because that's who Joe is. And he's fundamentally sound. He's going to make sure those guys are focused and locked in on the details of what they need to do. And, you know, it's kind of tough because knowing Joe as well as I do and knowing Kevin Stefanski, all of us have a prior relationship, which has grown over the years. You know, I've been their biggest fans and just watching those guys. But at some point we have to meet. And so this weekend, looking forward to that battle, that matchup. But on top of that, I do understand this. It's our job to make sure that our guys are ready. And it's our job to make sure that we're putting our guys in the right situations, okay, to be successful. And so that's what we're looking forward to. And I'm fired up. Can't wait.
Coach EB, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I can't really see everybody, but glad to have you all here. It's good to be doing this again. I mean, it feels like forever since we've got together and had a week of practice, but just got done with our second one and feel pretty good about it. So with that, I'll open it up.
We'll go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Herbie, great.
Hey, from Christian McCaffrey, Mike Davis, to Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, you've had your share of facing off against two-headed running backs in this past season. What is it about this Sunday's matchup that makes it unique or even challenging when you look at Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, a great question. Typically, you can say when you got two running backs that you're facing, you can say, okay, when 24 is in there, here are some things that they run. You know, when 27 is in there, they run their whole offense with both of them. That's where they're really effective. So you can't get a beat on that. We've got to defend the scheme. What makes it challenging, their run scheme to me, what makes it challenging is the fact that Baker Mayfield, you know, their misdirection runs are really him running boots and movement passes. And that's where our eyes got to be right. That's where we got to build the wall, track the hip, and set the edge, just like we talk about. But they present a problem, no question.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
We'll go next to Sam Mellinger. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Steve. I know a lot of people have talked about Tyron and you know, him being a good fit with what you do. Can you talk specifically about what it is about what you like to do with defense that made Tyron a good fit? And I'm also curious if you've gone even beyond what you've done before to kind of highlight his talents.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it until you just said that, but I'd probably say yes, that we have gone a little bit more beyond, because there are some things that we do with him now that I don't recall us doing in prior places. So, and really that's because first and foremost is him from the chin to the hairline. You're talking about an intelligent football player that loves it. And you know that if you feed something to Tyron, he's going to get it and he's going to know why. And in the game of football, I mean, we lay out all these plans and, you know, you go from Monday to Saturday and into Sunday, but things change so quick on game day. And the one thing about Tyron is you can go over to him and say, let's tweak this or do that. And he knows exactly why and he does it. He's great to have. The other guys, you know, a guy like that, we all focus on what he does, you know, the stats and gets the interceptions, tackles, the whole thing. But to me, one of the greatest things about having a guy like that is how he makes the other 10 better. And I truly believe that he does that with our unit because of the confidence that they have in him and the communication and plays he's going to make, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's go next to Therese Paler. Go ahead, Therese.
Hey, Coach Spags. How you doing today?
Hey, Therese.
Hey, quick question for you, man. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and people across multiple industries are trying really hard to find common ground so they can accomplish big goals. The NFL locker room is actually a great example of that. So my question to you is, what have you as a leader, what has Andy and your captains done to maintain a positive and healthy locker room culture amid these trying times? And Brad, I have a quick follow-up to that.
Yeah, awesome question. And if I was to guess, when you talk about our leaders, Patrick and Tyron and a bunch of other ones, it's just the level of respect that they show to all people. And it's visual acts of respect. It's not just talk with our guys. And our guys are close in the unit. And I think sometimes when all these things are going on around, and there's one thing I think that gets missed here. Like coaches, we're in this building and we're kind of behind these walls. We don't even see the real world. But our guys have to leave here every day. And they have to go out and be real people. And my guess is the guys that we're talking about, the leaders, have just projected and represented us really well. And I go back to character and respect, and I think we got a load of that on our team.
I understand. And I mean, you've been in the league a long time, just like Andy. Like in general, like, and you've been a part of some really good teams, some winners. So like, does in your experience, do politics come up at all in the locker room? And if they do, like, How do players kind of walk around that or deal with it? Or do they talk about it head on?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't spend a lot of time in the locker room, quite honest, and being truthful. Now, listen, in our meetings, you go back to when everything was kind of in flux, back when we were having our virtual meetings. We made it a point in our virtual meetings to talk about that pretty much every day for a pretty good period of time. I just wanted the guys to know that it meant something to us as coaches. You know, it wasn't just lost. It wasn't just talk. And then I think our players just kind of ran with that, which I thought was really, really good.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Steve, you talked a minute ago about Tyrann Mathieu and how he kind of makes the 10 guys around him better. How unusual or rare is that? You run across a number of guys over the years who you could say that about, do you feel like, or no?
Listen, they're few and far between. But there's a few guys, Antonio Pierce in New York, Brian Dawkins in Philadelphia, James Laurinaitis when I was in St. Louis. Our unit had a really good year the second year, but he was that kind of guy. It's the guy, even Anthony Hitchens is the same way with us here. It's the guys that can walk in each individual grouping, whether it's D-line, linebackers, DBs, and you know, and they just kind of get along and people respond to them. Those are the kind of guys that you need as many of those guys as you can get. I think we have a few of those guys that can do that, can talk to all the groups, and they listen. People respect them.
Got time for a couple more guys. We'll go Nate and then Mick. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Steve, I have two questions for you. The first is a follow-up to Herbie's question about the running backs. They seem to be extremely effective as pass catchers as well. I just wonder what that dynamic does to you and how it may shift your personnel packages, because they tend to play more like, you know, some bigger bigger wideouts than obviously a traditional running back.
Yeah, certainly Kareem, and the guys here, some guys that have been here when he was here obviously know that he's a threat. You can put him out. He's like a wideout defender. We have to be aware of that. Always got to know what 27 is. It'd be easy if, you know, you put a running back in there and you say he catches the ball all the time, and you put one in there and you say he runs it all the time. But you're dead on with both these guys. They can do extremely well at both of them, and they don't skip a beat. It's kind of what I was saying earlier, no matter which one they have in there. So I think that's a luxury for them. It's got to be something that we're aware of. You know, normally we'd be in practice and put a 24 and a 27 jersey on and say, okay, you got to know that when 27's in there, they got a chance of doing this. But, you know, quite frankly, this week, we got to defend the running back. Whichever running back is in there could run the football, catch it. And I think our guys have been in tune to that, and hopefully they'll show up in the game.
And you mentioned Anthony earlier. He was on the COVID list for a while away from you guys. How has he tried to get back in line with what he was doing earlier this season? And obviously we know the idea of just how guys are trying to manage, you know, when they obviously encounter COVID and have to stay away. So just what has he been like since he's been back with you guys?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. It feels completely different. Like, first of all, Ben Neiman and Darius Harris did a great job. And I don't know if you guys caught it at all, but, you know, Colin Saunders played some linebacker for us in that last game. God bless him, man. He was out there. He looked like LaVon Kirkland. We had LaVon Kirkland in Philadelphia at the end of his career. He looked just like him. And he had some fun with it, and we needed him. I mean, we had all the guys getting banged up. But getting back to Anthony, you felt his presence in the bye week the minute we had those practices, and he was back with us. The guys gravitate to him in front of the huddle, the communication he makes on the line of scrimmage, the whole thing. Guys felt it. We feel it as coaches. We know we can do a little bit more when you have a guy like that. So we're sure glad we got him back.
Last one to Mick Schaefer. Go ahead, Mick.
Hey, Steve. Last year, one of the playoff themes for you guys was obviously the slow starts, but I believe you gave up just 7 points in the fourth quarters of those three games. Do you feel like that was something that maybe got lost in the shuffle, and how big was that in you guys being able to do what you did?
Well, certainly in any playoff game, fourth quarter is huge. I mean, you guys have all the stats, and we know that these playoff games come down to last possessions or one possession football games. We know that. So playing good defense in the fourth quarter is huge. Now, I will be honest with you, because my mind goes this way, we have not done a great job of that. Kind of down the stretch here. We did earlier in the year. So it's something that we need to rise up and take care of. We worked on it a little bit in the bye week, as much as you can. But listen, I certainly hope that we can play our best football in the fourth quarter. Let's say that.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, you got it.